Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Randy Thompson, sitting in for the vacationing Sam Shad. Today we'll be talking with two scientists from the Desert Research Institute about wildland fires and climate change. Coming up on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season two, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nevada Newsmakers Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And we're back on Nevada Newsmakers. I'm pleased to be joined by two researchers from the Desert Research Institute, Tim Brown and Daniel Kaiser. So, Tim, let's start with you. I think for some folks, they might not necessarily know what the Desert Research Institute is. So why don't you talk a little bit about DRI, how it came about, and what it does these days?
Well, DRI is the environmental research arm of the Nevada System of Higher Education. And so a tremendous amount of environmental research works there. And I like to think of it as we do everything from just below the surface of the ground all the way up through the atmosphere and here locally in Nevada to all over the world. We've been pole to pole in the research that takes place.
So now, your focus is more on the wildlands and climate change. And what's your focus, Daniel?
So my focus is mainly on the health effects. Disasters like wildfire smoke.
Okay, and fascinating stuff. So I think I remember DR best as cloud seeding. Are we still doing that?
Yes, there still is some, but yeah, that's right. That's one of the early things that DRI has done. So it does take place, but yeah, the program of DRI has expanded tremendously now. There's actually three divisions. There's atmospheric science, earth and ecosystem science, and hydrologic science.
And is there any mining involved, or is it more just on the water side of things?
Only mining for science.
Okay, I like that. That's very good. So your specialty is, you're part of the climatology area, director of Western Regional Climate Center. So what are you doing in your role?
So Western Regional Climate Center is one of six regional centers. It's actually administered by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So our primary function there is to provide climate data, information, tools, subject matter expertise to the western U.S., not only Nevada, but our area also includes Alaska and the Pacific Islands. So
That's a variety of ecosystems, huh?
It's a big variety of ecosystems, climate, and of course a vast population, and anything from agriculture, energy, recreation, tourism, about anything you can imagine.
So the Western States primarily meaning the Great Basin, correct?
Actually, we start with Utah.
Okay.
And work our way west. So it's 11 states.
Okay. So obviously the big focus right now has been fires. We've got a lot in Montana. I think even in Alaska there's some fires going on, if I remember right.
But there have been, yeah.
Yeah. But so looking at really what's happening specifically in our area, this is the first, I guess, week, it seems, that we've had actually clean air in Reno. After, 6 weeks of bad air, it seems. Yeah. And we had fires surrounding us on the north and the south. And I remember talking to a lot of folks down in Vegas, and they had no idea that Reno was just literally in a smoke bank for weeks on end, and all of us were coughing, which we'll be talking to you about. Mm-hmm. We've had decades of managing forests where we suppressed fire instead of letting it burn. So there's a lot of talk about how California should be doing more to get rid of, you know, the fire load, the debris and stuff. But how have we managed our forests over the past, 100 years?
Yeah, so it's really started actually with what's called the 1910 big blow up that occurred in the Northern Rockies. There's about 3-4 million acres burned. Mm. But this was the early days of the U.S. Forest Service. It was just getting established. And the Forest Service at that time, well, still is, but timber was considered an agricultural commodity. And that's actually why, as a federal agency, the Forest Service is under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm. as opposed to Interior. But through time, and particularly in the 1930s, there was another series of very large fires. And all this led to something called the 10 a.m. policy. And that is, if a fire is reported today, it has to be out by 10 a.m. the next day. And if that didn't work, 10 a.m. the following day. So the problem being, it was a very aggressive suppression policy. Well, the forests started growing, and because we excluded fire right from the landscape. So in the 1970s, though, prescribed burning began to come back to the West, and now it is an important part of federal management. In the Southeast U.S., prescribed burning continued over the last century. It was only in the West that it was considered a problem.
And why did we consider that a problem? Why do we continue to suppress?
Well, it was considered a problem because timber was considered that a very valued commodity. So you wanted to protect the forest. And it just took time to realize, well, wait a minute, there's other aspects about the forest. If you have this dense forest, that's not as healthy, right, as actually an open forest. If you look back at pictures from the past, you'll see folks riding horses through the forest. You can actually see through the trees. Mm-hmm. Many places now you can't do that.
Well, in the Tahoe Basin, it was pretty much clear cut back in the 1860s, yeah. right, to build the Flume Trail and to get timber down to Virginia City. So with that, didn't they kind of develop then a monoculture, just like one tree, you know, came back? I mean, we really did not let the basin come back naturally, or did we?
Well, it's come back, but not the way it was.
So yeah.
We would actually consider what's up there now as new growth, right, not old growth, because you're correct. Mm-hmm. It was virtually clear cut through the basin. So, and monoculture is potentially a problem as well.
Well, do you see now that Forest Service should actually move to the Department of Interior? Are we ever going to see that change?
I don't know. I'm not sure that it really matters because the federal fire agencies, well, land management agencies, so there's five in Department of Interior, there's the Forest Service. They actually work together very well. There's all kinds of agreements to do that. And so it's probably fine, and that's not my call if they should move or not. But
having worked for the Department of Interior, I sort of understand that. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about how climate change is impacting wildland fires right after this.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, Can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Get in on the Tamarack Casino's $175,000 Hidden Treasures Guaranteed Giveaway now through September 30th. Earn entries in the weekly drawings and win big during the two $35,000 grand prize giveaways. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And we're back on Nevada Newsmakers with two scientists from DRI, Desert Research Institute, for those that don't know that, Tim Brown and Daniel Kaiser. So, Tim, just to kind of wrap up a little bit on wildland fires. So climate change is obviously impacting it. What are you seeing and kind of going in the future? What are we expecting and what's the science telling us?
So, yeah, climate change is definitely impacting. It's really exacerbating what's going on out there. So I think the main things that temperature warming is a big deal, of course. Mm-hmm. But that's also exacerbating the dryness of the fuels, what we think of as fuel flammability. It's allowing those fuels to dry out more because the warming atmosphere, it takes moisture out of the soil, it takes moisture out of the vegetation, and it's actually kind of a feedback loop that takes place there. So when there is a spark, when there is an ignition, now you've got all this fuel that we just talked about, plus very dry and combustionable fuel. So if you have some wind, if you have some the right kind of terrain, it's very easy for these fires just to take off and become large and very difficult to manage, and a lot of smoke production.
That's for sure. Oh man, that's for sure. And yet fire is good for forests. I mean, so there are some pine cones that actually break open with fire, correct? I mean, that's fire can be good. It's supposed to be good.
Right. So a lot of the forests are adapted in many ways to low severity fire.
Mm, interesting.
That's fire that, you know, that just runs along the ground and not a lot of energy to it, cleans out the undergrowth, the brush, to allow the dominant, say, trees in a forest, you know, to propagate and be healthy. But what we're seeing are these more high severity fires, and this is just totally burning out a lot of the forest. Not every place, there's actually stands in forests, and so even some of these bigger fires that we've been seeing, some of the fire in there has been good. Mm. It's not all been bad.
And it seems like fire season is now year-round, right?
It's definitely gotten longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, on both ends. So, and again, that's because of the warming. It's allowed conditions to dry out sooner and last longer through what we used to think of as just a summer fire season in many places here in the West.
So what should we be doing now going forward to help prevent these huge fires? What's the modeling saying? What's the science saying?
Well, from a public perspective, a lot of things is just be careful with ignitions. A lot of the fires are human caused, not always on purpose, right? The majority are actually accidental, but there are probably still things that we can do with that. Mm-hmm. But from the bigger picture, it is our human caused climate change that's a big factor here. It's not the only factor to these fires. But it is one of them. And so anything that we can do to help mitigate that kind of warming trend, that's going to be very important to our forests and ecosystems.
So, Daniel, you're on the health side of all of this. So, mm-hmm. obviously, what are your biggest concerns when it comes to these big fires?
So, I mean, obviously, there are health impacts to people who are driven out by the fires. But I think one of the things that my group is most concerned about, and I think in general is of most concern, is people who are affected by the wildfire smoke, perhaps hundreds of miles away. And this is affecting millions of people across the western U.S. and even people on the East Coast.
I had a girlfriend that went to Boston in the middle of August, and she said the air quality in Boston was bad, and it was coming from the fires out west. So
right.
California, even Montana, because Montana had some huge fires this year, too. So it is, what are you seeing? You're talking about the diversity of what's burning, but are there certain things that hurt lungs more than, is that you've got sagebrush, you've got rabbit brush, you've got pine, you've got juniper, I mean.
Sure, yeah, and that's an area of ongoing research. I don't know that necessarily we have a handle yet on what might be most harmful. There has been some research comparing urban particulate matter, from vehicle emissions and industry, versus wildfire smoke or biomass burning. And in general, it seems like, if anything, wildfire smoke is more toxic than things that might come from cars and stuff like that.
Oh, well, that's a little scary. But you've also got homes that are burning. I mean, does that have an impact as well?
Sure,
So homes, propane, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you start talking about heavy metals and stuff like that, that's also going to be an issue.
Because the temperatures of these fires are pretty intense, it seems like. And obviously taking out homes is a little different. But I see this week they've wrapped the Sherman tree at Sequoia Kings Canyon right. National Park to prevent it from burning. But if it's that intense of a heat, can you really stop it from burning just about everything?
That's going to depend on fire to fire. So
yeah.
These big conflagrations like we see, it's much more difficult to do direct, what fire management will call direct attack onto the fire. You can't stand now in front of the fire line, right, and put a hose on it. So typically you have to work a ways from the edge of the fire and try and do tactics like build a fire line, try and back burn back into the fire to reduce the fuel. You rely on fuel breaks, either natural or those that you could create. Through the tactical suppression activities. Of course, there's aircraft, helicopters that come along and try and drop retardant lines, water lines. And once they get sizable, like Dixie or Caldor, a lot of times you're actually waiting on the weather to help you a lot. The winds need to calm down, maybe have cooler nights so that fire lays down a little bit more.
Well, I'm hearing now that the guys are saying the Dixie Fire won't get down until we have 4 feet of snow. So that's kind of scary. That's months away. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk more after this.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
I'm your guide for season two of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. Tollsdevelopment.com.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And we're back on Nevada Newsmakers talking to two scientists from the Desert Research Institute, Tim Brown and Daniel Kaiser. So Daniel, I'm going to come back to you. What is the science showing the relationship between smoke and COVID?
So this is a new area of research, obviously, since COVID-19 just came on the scene. But there appears to be an association between particulate matter in the air and a rise in COVID-19 cases and death. And this was something that was seen even before looking at wildfire smoke. So studies in Europe and China have also found associations between particulate matter and the spread of infectious respiratory diseases. And so, you know, it's not something that we were particularly surprised to see, mm-hmm. that there was an association. But the magnitude of the association that we observed last year was pretty large.
So is it because the lungs are getting weaker from the smoke, or is it just that they're inhaling particulates and then that makes you more susceptible?
Well, I think that's an area that needs further research. Now, that is certainly one of the theories, is that, okay, we inhale the particulate matter into our lungs, that causes inflammation and thus makes us more susceptible to infection.
Interesting, okay.
There's also theories that the viral particles can actually hitch a ride on the particulate matter in the air.
Oh, wow.
So it's floating around so that when we inhale that particulate matter, we're also inhaling the virus, and that might lead to infection. So that would be another possible theory. You know, it also could just be, well, the air quality is bad outside, so people are spending more time socializing indoors, and that's, you know, causing more cases of COVID-19.
That's true. I barely used my backyard this year in Reno, so mm-hmm. It wasn't really that good.
So it could be a combination of factors, and, you know, how those factors might compare to each other, we're not really sure.
And are you guys looking into that science of, is it the outdoors or staying in the indoors? I mean, can you kind of get to that level?
It is difficult to study. You know, one of the things that we would like to do is just look at our particulate matter sample from last year and see if we can detect COVID-19 RNA on that particulate matter. And that might give us some hints.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
But it's also scary because we are seeing that COVID's not going away and wildfires aren't going away. So I take it this is going to be ongoing research at this point.
Well, it is, yeah. And, you know, this hasn't just been observed with COVID-19. It's also been observed with other, you know, respiratory diseases as well that are infectious, so like pneumonia, bronchitis, the flu. I mean, there's been associations observed between those things and wildfire smoke.
So any kind of virus could attach itself to a smoke particle?
Possibly. We don't know if that's what's happening.
It's an interesting theory, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we talk about wearing a mask to prevent COVID. Should you be wearing a mask would it help during a smoke season to be wearing masks? And if so, I don't think the ones I get off of Amazon are going to really work with the cute little designs on them.
Right. So the surgical mask and the cloth mask, they do, you know, protect against COVID, but not necessarily against wildfire smoke.
Interesting.
And so the masks that are thought to be more protective against particulate matter would be like the N95s or the KN95s. Those would be protective against both COVID-19 and the particulate matter in the air. So those could, if you can obtain those, they're a little harder to get, a little bit more expensive, but they could be more protective.
So are you surprised by this finding that these theories more than findings at this point? But
yeah. So we observed an association, correlation is not necessarily causation.
Right.
So we definitely want to be, cautious in how we proceed with these findings. But in general, this has been, replicated in several studies. Now there's another large study that looked at 92 different counties in Washington, Oregon, and California that observed, similar findings to what we found last year. So I wouldn't say that we were particularly surprised just based on what we've seen with other infectious diseases as well previously. But then also, this is a different season in a lot of ways than last season. I know this season a majority of the population is now vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with new variants. The surge in Delta happened much sooner relative to the wildfire smoke than we observed last year. And so, it's hard to say, just how it might play out this year in terms of whether we would see something similar or not.
And I take it you're looking at international too. Canada, China, wherever.
I think that there are studies being conducted all over the world. We're primarily focused on Nevada, though.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, thank you guys for your time. Thank you for your research into wildland fire health as well as our own health. We appreciate all that you guys are doing. And DRI is a great thing. It really is a fascinating thing to have in Nevada. So I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after this.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching and listening. You can catch us anytime on our new YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers. Thank you. Hey, Mom.